San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, June 9th, 2019. Our speaker is Dr. Constance Cook Kaur, and today's lesson is Yes, I Can. And good morning. It is a beautiful morning. We sang about it being a bright, shiny day, bright, sunshiny day, and truly it is. It is glorious outdoors. We are so blessed to live in San Diego, where other people come to vacation right next door to our homes. It's amazing. There is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence that flows through all creation. And I call this God, the living spirit almighty, one indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. And this anchors us every Sunday in the truth of the universe, the truth of ourselves, the truth of all that is, that we are made of God stuff, because there's nothing else to be made from. And so this morning we're continuing our theme for June, optimism. Optimism! Say optimism!
Optimism!
Yay! And our talk today is Yes, I Can. Yes, I can. And for those who have studied with me and been attending the center, you know that one of the things I like to emphasize always is the universe says yes. The universe always says yes. So that's why we have to think about what we're thinking about. Because whatever is our predominant thought, the universe says, yes, you can. Yes, you are. And so there we are, embraced, embodied, sometimes feels like embalmed in what our thoughts are. So this today, yes, I can, is a very powerful message. It's Sunday, it's June 9th, it is beautiful. And I want to talk a little about can and be. Can and be. And the three things that we're going to be addressing today is that you're already handling the universe perfectly every day. The other is we are learning to handle it better with every breath. And the third is that being is what leads to doing. Okay, so those are the three things we're going to be addressing today. When I was a kid growing up, there were six of us in our family. Six kids, you know, then plus mom and dad. And I remember one of us, probably most often me, was saying, I can't. Mom would say, we'll do this. I can't. And I don't know why. I think it was because really the answer should have been, I don't want to. But it was, I can't, that came out of my mouth. And my mother, of all the things she said in my whole life, this one stands out. Can't never could do anything. Can't never could do anything. So if you say I can't, you're immediately dooming yourself to failure. And what is failure? Failure is not a loss or a lack. Failure is an opportunity to look at what went wrong and tweak it, adjust it, find a better way. Because you know how I know that you can find a better way? Yes, you can. There's not only one way to do anything. There's an infinite number of ways to do everything. And when we think about how we identify ourselves, how we name ourselves, there are three big lies that are told. The first lie, according to Henri Nguyen, a Dutch Catholic priest, is I am what I have. Are you what you have? You don't look like a car to me. You don't look like a grocery store to me. I certainly don't look like my home. But the first big lie is I am what I have. The second big lie is I am what I do. We are so complex. There's no one thing that we do that we could claim as our I am-ness. Not a thing. No thing. Now there are qualities of God that we can claim. I am what I do. If I love, the odds are I am loving. If I give, the odds are that I am giving. But still, I am not what I do. But that's how many people define themselves. I'm an engineer. I'm a manager. I'm a bus driver. I'm a school teacher. You know, all these different things. People identify with what they do. When it doesn't matter what they do, they are first themselves. And our careers, our vocations, our activities are only ways that we express who we are inside. The third big lie is I am what other people say about me. Oh my Lord. Can you imagine if we actually were everything that was ever said about us? Now, a lot of people say a lot of nice things about us. They do. But not when you're in second grade. And not when you're in a group of people who want to compete with you. For an example of that, look at the politicians. My goodness, if they are what other people say about them, let's lock them all up right now. Because I can't tell you when the last time I heard competing politicians say something nice about each other was. Which is a sad state of affairs in itself. So, of those three big lies, I am what I have, I am what I do, I am what other people say about me. Can we say no? Say it now. No. 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 No to all three big lies. And I can ignore the three big lies simply by being my authentic self. Say that after me. I can ignore the three big lies.
I can ignore the three big lies.
Simply by being my authentic self.
Simply by being my authentic self.
Yes, you can. Yes, I can. Of course we can. There were lies after all. We don't do lies. There are things when we say that we can do them. Yes, I can. That implies, yes, I can do. Yes, I can do that which is necessary for me to survive in my life. Yes, I can do my job. Yes, I can do my parenting. Yes, I can do my laundry, my dishes, vacuum my floors. I can do all these things. But like I said, those are just outward ways that we express ourselves. There is a tripartite that I like, and it's a collection of three statements, and it comes in different variants. The first one is from Socrates, to be is to do. To be is to do. And that's ancient wisdom. That's spiritual wisdom. The next one is to do is to be. Now, that one comes from Jean-Paul Sartre, who was a philosopher, and he's a French philosopher, and he was a Marxist. Now, Marxism is one of those that takes God out of everything. So, to take the God essence out of everything, he would understandably have a misunderstanding of what it is to be. Because when we be, we are our authentic selves. We are those spiritual, immortal beings having a human experience. So when he says to do is to be, he's got it backwards. Socrates in the ancient wisdom had it right. And then perhaps the most famous one is Doobie-Doobie-Doo from Strangers in the Night by Frank Sinatra. And when I was thinking about doing and being, that's the first thing that came to mind. Doobie-Doobie-Doo. The thing is, that's five syllables. I put it up here on the board. It's five syllables. And we have, if we count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, we have odd and even. We get rid of all the odd ones, do, 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 and we are left with be. Be, that great encouragement of being. And we could just swap them out and make it be, do, be, do, be. Say that with me, be, do, be, do, be. Yeah, makes your mouth feel awkward when you say it, doesn't it? It truly does. I was practicing to say it while I was writing my lesson because it felt like a tongue twister. Doobie doobie doo just flows right out there like Scooby Doo. But the be doo be doo be, you have to think about how you're forming your mouth to say that. Well, that's kind of like when you're trying to do things instead of be things, instead of be what you are. We're trying to put on this outward do. Look at me. Look at all I am doing. And there was, at times in history, there was a great theological movement, which was you earn your way to heaven by doing. An oppositional theological theory is that we be. We are in heaven now by being. We have the grace of the divine to forgive whatever it is we are doing or not doing. Simply being the child of God. That's all we need to be. To have the heavenly reward that was proposed by each of these theologic philosophies. So what can we be? Well, there's three things that we can be. We can be authentic. And a lot of people go, be authentic. How do I be authentic? Well, it's very simple because it's a lot harder to put on a mask and hide your true self than it is to simply be. It's a lot harder to put up that social persona at work or out in public so that you don't appear to be vulnerable because you doubt your true self. So when you can simply be your authentic self, then the outer doing doesn't have to be a facade. It can simply be the way that you express who you are. And that is a huge relief. You can be whole. Whole. Missing nothing. Having structural integrity. Whole. You have spiritual structural integrity. There's nothing missing from you. Not a single thing. You are whole. So if there's nothing missing in you, why search for something to instill doubt? I do a self-comparison. Why I say, well, how am I in comparison to this or in comparison to that? You're perfect. You're absolutely perfect. So is this and so is that. Because guess who doesn't make mistakes? The universe. The universe always says yes. So if the universe always, the law says, yes, I can. Whatever it is given, it says, yes, I can. And it does it. You are whole. I am whole. I am authentic. Even though sometimes I feel like I have to hold back a little of who I am, I don't. Those are just my doubts. We are free to simply be. And the third thing that we can be is present. We can be present. Being present is an opportunity to for us to look at what are we carrying forward into the present moment and what are we projecting into future moments. Because when we are right here, right now, it's timeless. There's no past, there's no future. And did you know that it's harder to think of all the horrible things that might never happen in the future? It is harder to do that than to simply be present. Worry, borrowing trouble, looking for the worst that could happen. What is the worst that could happen? Nothing. Nothing's happening. You're here now. Also, worry and thinking up all these terrible things, it's going to give you wrinkles, it's going to give you a pain in the neck from the tension, and it's going to give you an upset stomach. You can be present right here, right now. No wrinkles, no new wrinkles, no pain in the neck, no upset stomach. Because you're here now. You're perfect now, you're whole now. This is your authentic self right here, right now. You chose to be here. When you made that choice, the universe said, yes, I can. Here he is. Here she is. Absolutely. So this month of optimism, I have a question for you. Are you ready to actively live a spiritual life, which is our 2019 theme, embodying your greatest and highest good? Are you ready?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Are you ready to be?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So, want you to repeat after me. Yes, I can choose optimism.
Yes, I
do choose optimism.
Yes, I do choose optimism.
Yes, I am optimistic.
Yes, I am optimistic.
I look for and see God the good.
I look for and see God the good.
In every life and circumstance.
In every life and circumstance.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so breathe. You just made a spiritual commitment. However, that spiritual commitment that you made was already true about you before you even vocalized it. You are optimistic. If you weren't, you wouldn't be here right now. This is an opportunity to, in every moment, reaffirm the universe saying, yes, I can. Yes, I am. And the universe, people will say, oh, is it a friendly universe? Is it not a friendly universe? It's an absolutely friendly universe. The only time it doesn't feel friendly is when we doubt. when we allow those doubts to become fears, when we move away from the present moment, when we entertain the idea that we're not good enough, that we're not already whole. And in doing those things, we're hiding our authentic self. So, is the universe a friendly place? You betcha. You betcha. And you are handling it perfectly right now. There's a Martha Beck quote, and it's from The Integrity Cleanse. It says, you can handle everything in the universe as it is right now. Look, you just handled it. There, you did it again. And again. You are crushing this. End quote. I love that. I love that. That's along the lines of what I try to explain when I have my students and I tell them about the eternal now. That there's nothing outside of the eternal now, because it's right now. And now. And now. And now. And I say it over and over again until they either get tired of me hearing it or it clicks. You know, you see the light bulb go on over their heads. What's interesting is to see when it clicks for some, it hasn't clicked for the others, and the ones it's clicked for are sitting there like, I get it, I get it. Can you stop now? It's like, no, it's the eternal now. Being leads to doing. I want to read what Ernest Holmes says. Ernest Holmes is the founder of the New Thought Movement and author of the Science of Mind textbook. And on pages 490 and 491, he says, we are changed from glory to glory. This implies that the divine scale is ever ascending. There is no end to the divine nature, and therefore no end to the possibility of our expressing it. But we must behold it. That's in all caps. But we must behold it. We must look steadfastly into this reality if we are to imagine it in our own minds. He also says, the world is saturated with divinity, immersed in reality and filled with possibility. We must take this divine possibility and mold it into a present actuality in everyday experience. This is the way to freedom, the pathway to peace and happiness. Say, yes, I can.
Yes, I can.
Okay. He goes on to say, we do not look at the things which are seen as eternal. Behind the visible and changeable is the changeless reality, the eternal one, working in time and space for the expression of itself. The divine ideas stand back of all human thought, seeking admittance through the doorway of the mind. If we look at love long enough, we shall become lovely, for this is the way of love. God is love. If we gaze longingly at joy, it will make its home with us, and we shall enter its portals and be happy. If we seek the divine in men, we shall find it, and be entertaining angels unawares. Say, yes, I can.
Yes, I can.
Yes, I can. I can. So he tells us that the divine ideas stand back of all human thought, seeking admittance through the doorway of the mind. The doorway of the mind. Our minds are connected to our spirit, which is a part of the one mind of the divine. And so we have our minds working with, in, as, and through the one mind of God. The divine mind, the mind of spirit. that knows everything. So it's not actually a doorway where you open and close the door. It's like a portal. It's just always there. And when we allow ourselves to stand in the flow that is moving through that portal, we are enriched. We are enriched. But like he says, we must behold it. We must behold it. And when we behold it, we are being our authentic self. And being leads to doing. Whoever we are, our spiritual nature, that's who we are. And then everything that we do in our life is an extension of our beingness. It's not separated from our beingness. It is how we are expressing the divine within. Now let's talk about babies. Babies, when they're learning to walk, you know that babies, from the time they're born until the time they're five, they learn more in that concentrated time frame than any human being learns in the whole rest of their life. They teach themselves to walk. They teach themselves to roll over. They teach themselves to talk. We simply are there to observe it and take credit for it. It's like, I taught my son to walk. Really? Really? That little child was trying to walk. And as it was standing up, as it was sitting up, as it was standing up, it fell on its little backside with a padded diaper countless times. Now, what if it happened once and they go, okay, once. Happened again and they go, well, I don't like this landing on my behind. Happens again and they say, I'm not doing that. Everybody else can do that. I'm just going to sit here on my behind for the rest of my life. That's not how babies operate. Babies inherently know, yes, I can. Yes, I can. Just think about it. They cry when they're hungry and food appears. Maybe not right away, but it does. They cry when they're wet and their bottom becomes dry through changing. They cry when they have a fever, they get taken care of. So they are learning immediately that all this whole world here is designed to meet their needs. Would that we adults could return to that absolute faith that this whole world here, this whole universe, is designed to meet our needs, meet the needs of every single one, even the apparent conflicting needs. Because we're being, not doing. So babies, when they learn to walk, they continue, they become more steady on their feet, they eventually learn to take several steps, they learn to run, they learn to dance. Maybe they want to be like Fred Astaire and become like the greatest tap dancer ever. Maybe they want to be Mikhail Baryshnikov and do all the ballet dancing. Maybe they want to be a track star and run. Maybe they want to be a running back and go zigzag through all the opposing team members to get to the goal line. But they are moving. They are going step by step, learning all those things that they need to learn in order to move and to become more adept at their heart's desire of moving. Why is that a big deal? What's our heart's desire? Being. Our heart's desire is being. All that outward doing, those are just ways that we express our being. But to be authentic, to be whole, to be present in the now, this is our heart's desire. It seems kind of arrogant of me to tell you what your heart's desire is, doesn't it? Anyone who can truly honestly tell me that their heart's desire is not to be in absolute harmony with all that is? Go ahead. Because we are divine spiritual beings. That's why we're here. To express through this human world. We're not going to be here forever. And you know what's going to happen when we are no longer occupying these human bodies, these earth suits? We are going to return to our true nature, which is spiritual, immortal beings having a spiritual being experience. So, our heart's desire is to simply be. And we can be. The reason we can be is because we are already all of the qualities of God. All of them. I know what I am. I know what you are. And right now we're going to say it. So I'm going to say it and you're going to say it with me or after me. Okay? I want to hear it with enthusiasm. I am love.
I am love.
I am truth.
I am truth.
I am wisdom.
I am wisdom.
I am beauty.
I am beauty.
I am harmony.
I am harmony.
I am truth.
I am truth.
And I am one with the divine, as each of you are, one with that divine. And when we are all one with the divine, guess what else we are? One with each other. One with each other. And in our teaching symbol, we have the circle, and then it's segmented into the three parts with the arrow going down, spirit descending into form. So we put something in the top that is an idea, a seed plant, a seed idea, a seed concept. And it is absolutely accepted into the middle part, the law, which says, yes, I can. The universe always says yes. Yes, I can. Not just yes, I can, but yes, I do. I do this. I do this in the universe because I am the law of production, the law of creation. And out the bottom comes those things that we put the concept in the top. So the universe is always saying yes. Always the universe says yes. And the law in particular, yes, I can. Yes, I can. So I'm going to close this morning by reminding you of that quote of Michael J. Fox. Say yes as often as you can. No doesn't move you. Okay. So thank you for your time, for your attention, for this amazing experience this morning. Namaste.
Namaste.